from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It is, of course, day two of Bills training camp over at St. John Fisher University. And our coverage here of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and in part brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers. And the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. We are going to listen to here real quick in just a second, Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. He did meet with the media earlier this morning. Sean McDermott met with the media yesterday. Real quick, though, I have failed to mention it up to this point. We're an hour into the show, but the Buffalo Sabres yesterday avoid arbitration with goaltender Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. They signed him to a 5-year deal with, I believe, an average annual value of $4.75 million, good for like 25th or 21st in the NHL in terms of goaltenders. I think it's a really, really good price for them in terms of, you know, if you potentially trade him 2 years down the line, you're still going to have term left and good amount of value that a team can stomach taking that contract for a very good goaltender. You can get a good price for him. Or if he's still playing really well and Levi is not there yet, you got him for 5 years on a team that hopefully is ascending towards, you know, what they want to be and breaking this playoff drought. All right, without further ado, let's go now back to this morning as Bills offense coordinator Joe Brady met with the media before practice.
John, your takeaways from Keon, his first training camp practice, got his ball early and often, that great catch near the pylon, just your overall impressions on a good first day.
Yeah, I think you can see the work that he put in, you know, the last month. It was important to him not just to get away and just enjoy a summer. You know, he took it upon himself to, hey, make sure he's still working on his craft. And, you know, had some opportunities yesterday and kind of made the most of them. And, you know, I think that kind of shows who he is. So it's just a matter of just consistency, right? And, you know, you can have one day, but can you follow it up? And I think that's what you got to do to be a great receiver, great player. So excited to see him today.
Hey, Joe, tough slim for Dawson last year, injury-wise. Up
the
full strength, what kind of
options does he give you? I mean, he's huge for our offense. He does so much in from a leadership standpoint, just him being around, but just him in the pass game. He's such a unique skill set with what he can do as a receiver, and just seeing the growth that he's put with Coach Boris in the run game. You know, he's a complete tight end, so just having him, Dalton, Q, just the versatility that we have, it gives us a lot of options. So, you know, it hurt us not having him last year, so I'm excited to see him kind of moving around in full speed. He's a huge asset for us.
Hey, Joe, in terms of James Cook last year, heavy workload, more than he's ever had, and, you know, going back probably to high school. Is that a concern at all moving forward? And he had, like, over 300 touches down in the playoffs.
No. I think, look, sometimes it's a benefit, especially in college when they don't have a crazy workload because, you know, that's wear and tear on your body, whether you're carrying the ball in high school or college. Sometimes it's like, hey, they can be a workhorse back, whatever that might mean, but that's a lot of touches and hits that they put on them in college. I think, you know, we'll see how Jimbo goes. But, you know, when you look at Jimbo, I think I said it in spring, he looks different. He's stronger. He's more put together. You can tell he put in a lot of work. It's important to him. And so I'm excited to just can see him to continue to evolve and get better.
Joey, when you talked about this being Josh Allen's playbook, not my playbook, how over the years have you seen him take ownership of it, and especially this year, with all the new people that have to be introduced to it?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's shoot, the first training camp I was here, I was trying to figure it all out, you know, and sometimes I'm asking him just what he's thinking. And so you kind of, you see how much he's maturing in the offense in terms of the ownership of just teaching the guys exactly what he's seeing and not just, hey, I know where that guy's going to be, I'm going to throw it to him. But like, hey, guys, this is what I'm thinking. Let's stop the tape. This is where my feet are. You got to be at this spot because of that. And just seeing that growth where I can kind of take a step back and allow him to communicate a lot more. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. And he kind of has to do that because we, you know, we had a lot of receivers in the past that have played in this offense and kind of already knew those things. And so it's been a lot of fun just seeing him just kind of take that and kind of roll with it and understand how important it is that we do have new guys and that it's important for them to understand what he's thinking, not just running a play, because at the end of the day, they're the ones out there doing it. And so that's what I love about training camp. That's what I love about being here, is he's with those guys at all times, and they're just they're attached to his hip, and it's fun to watch.
You took over with 8 games last year to go. You can't install a whole new offense, obviously. You have some things that carry over. Now you've had kind of a full offseason without giving away strategy, of course. How much can carry over? How much is new? Is it a complete overhaul maybe of a year ago, or is there a lot of mixed in stuff?
I think no matter what, whether you're from year to year, you know, the game of football is growing. And if you continue to do the same thing over and over, well, we're all studying each other. The defenses are evolving. Eventually, you know, it's going to hit a point. And so I think regardless if you're the best offense in the league, in order to stay the best offense in the league, you got to continue to grow and evolve, and you get new pieces. And so the offense has to change regardless. And so it was a great opportunity for us to kind of take a step back and figure out exactly who we have and try to build an offense around that. You know, we signed a lot of pieces in free agency and then in the draft, of then trying to mix and match and put them all together. And, you know, and so we're still a product of it. We got, you know, all training camp to kind of see kind of exactly who we're going to be and put guys in places and see, hey, can we do this? Can this be something that will be a huge part of us? Or is this something, hey, you know what, maybe this kind of goes down the road and we got to focus on something else. And so every day there's intention behind what we're doing, and whether it works or doesn't, that's not the, I'm not concerned with the results right now. I'm just concerned with kind of like how we're doing it. And so it's been a lot of exciting. I know that doesn't give you much, but you guys were able to see a little bit.
Yesterday, Josh talked about downfield passes for you in Carolina. He was used a lot more as a possession receiver in Washington. I mean, when we ask who does the defense have to respect downfield, you see among the receiving corps, Samuel, a guy you think they might, that could threaten them?
I mean, I think you have to respect everybody. I don't think speed is the only thing that impacts whether defenses are worried about guys going downfield. If you look across the league, there's certain guys, like a 40 time doesn't necessarily tell you if you're a downfield threat or not. Size sometimes plays into factor of that. What type of route you actually can run, how you track a football. There's so many more things than just speed elements to it. And so I feel confident in the receiver room that we have, that we have the ability to stretch the field if we want. The guys will be able to go up with footballs if we have to. And so not necessarily just Curtis, but I feel excited about the rest of the room.
Yesterday, Josh talked about the intelligence of the wide receiver room, and he even brought up how much motion you guys ran on day one, and it seemed like he was almost talking about how you almost force-feeding some of the new guys. Is there a sense of that, needing to get these new guys up to speed a lot quicker than maybe in the past?
No, there's always an urgency, right? This is the NFL, but I'm the big believer, and there's a reason the guys that we have in here, the character, the intelligence that you kind of talk about, that was a big reason they're here. And so you're able to do those things because of the personnel that you have. And I think it's important. I want guys to mess up now. Like, there might be times where we mess up in practice and I have a smile on my face, and I know that's such an awful mindset, but I want the guys to be okay with failing because it's an opportunity for us to learn. But if everything always just goes well, then sometimes we're not learning as much watching tape. And so if you put a lot on their plate, not too much, you know, and so that's the struggle that I always have, is like, hey, what's the fine line? But I think if you put a lot on their plate, it really puts a lot of onus on them of making sure, hey, I'm the attention to detail, like, hey, can I handle it? Because it's such a new room. This is tight ends, receivers, running backs speaking. It's all new. And if it's important to them and they can show that they can handle it, they can play, because you're going to earn every rep. And so, I was pleased with seeing how the guys were able to operate and communicate yesterday.
Hey, Joe, you talk about failure, but success. We saw yesterday guys celebrating when they scored. I think Josh even mentioned that something. What's your philosophy on that? I mean, it's practice. You're going against your team. But when you have success, touchdowns and all that, guys embracing the success that you have in practice.
Yeah, it's you know, I grew up and there was times where it was like, hey, act like you've been there before. And so I completely understand that. But, man, football's hard. It's hard. You can be the best offense in the NFL going against the 32nd ranked team, and it's still going to be hard to score. Like, that's just the reality of it. This is the NFL. And when you score touchdowns, it's not just one person scoring that touchdown. It took a whole drive, or it took 11 people. And so part of what I'm trying to emphasize here, what Coach McDermott's trying to emphasize, we have a lot of new guys, but us doing it all together. And if we really emphasize that everyone eats mindset, is you can see when people score, are we celebrating together? You know, yesterday, you know, you're scoring some touchdowns and you're seeing James Cook on a passing touchdown. James Cook, Deion, Josh are the first ones there celebrating. Well, that speaks so loudly to me. And so seeing those guys celebrate, having fun, you know, it's a red zone practice. There should be a good amount of touchdowns, right? It's a little different when it's a first and second down day or whatnot. But just really put an point of emphasis with it. I remember when I took over last year, the first red zone practice we had that week of the Jets week, I mean, I think our O-line was gassed for the amount that I was making them kind of run to go celebrate with the guys. And, you know, you saw that first game, Khalil scoring or Ty Johnson scoring, and just seeing those guys run and celebrate with them. And it's important. And it might not look like it, but I think it is. And you want to see the type of team that you're going to have, see how the guys respond when guys score. If they really believe in the everyone eats mindset, see how everybody looks when they score. And so just day one, but pleased with some of that. As long as they're doing it together. This isn't, you know, we had a couple TikTok dances that I don't know about that I wasn't too much of a fan of, but yeah.
Which is your favorite celebration?
My favorite celebration is whenever they, I prefer offensive line getting the spikes. And you know, you always grade a good spike if the ball leaves the screen. So, you know, and you guys don't necessarily get to see that, but that's my favorite ones. The O-line are the reason we're scoring touchdowns. When they're doing it, let's give them some love, and then we can they can have a little fun watching it as well.
Hey, Joe, in your coaching career, either play caller or other roles, during these first couple weeks of fall camp, how often do you run something so well that night you red check mark and say, I want to get to this in football?
I think to me, it's – you never get enough reps, right? It's just a reality. You can walk through stuff. To me, it's all about frequency. It's even if it's just routes, you know, you're never going to get enough time on task. And it's not about in order to get good at a play or a route, it's about how many times you run it. So even if it works against, you know, one look or one coverage, it's like, man, I hope the next time we get this, we get a bad look and Josh has to make another decision or whatnot. So I think your core concepts, but I'm not thinking about, you know, week one, week two right now. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what can be our core concepts that we can kind of roll with and hope that, hey, we're not always throwing our first progression and just seeing the comfort level of him having to make the quarterbacks having to make decisions moving across and where they feel comfortable with the play, just not the first read.
Hey, Joe, is there in this camp, at least, or OTAs also, and a need to get Dalton Kincaid downfield more than last year? There was a lot of stuff close to the line last year, and he's got that talent to get down the seam. Are you trying to devise ways to get him more involved down the field?
Right now, we're kind of in the process of just trying to see what all of our guys can do. You know, and just their different skill sets. It's such a I'm so excited about the group that we have, the tight ends and the receivers, because it's so many different skill sets. And you hope that versatility allows it to play a little harder on defenses to defend of, hey, this guy can run short, but he also can push vertical, and it's not only certain guys doing certain things. And so I think you guys saw a couple yesterday of just seeing Dalton do some things going vertical. We know we saw that he can do that last year. And so something that I hope for all of our guys, you know, that's a part of their repertoire.
Early on, what's been the experience competing not only against the defense, but Bobby and his new role, both of you guys trying to assert yourselves in different ways on your side of the ball? When a guy who brings that much energy on the other side, what's it like competing against his human?
We're going to be the offense that we want to be because of our defense. They make us better. They challenge us. And Bobby, me and Bobby go at it. I love it on tape, you know, in a red zone period, when right after a play he has to look at his next script because it didn't go well for him. You know, we're naturally competitive, right? And I know it's such a stupid thing because I'm not doing a thing besides reading a play. That's what I do at practice, right? Real tough. There's a reason he's a defensive coordinator, man. being able to pick his brain, but just what our defense does, it really challenges us. And I think sometimes people think it's a simple scheme, but there's reason it's had so much success for so many years. And a big reason why our offense has been what we've been is because of our defense.
Can you match his colorful language, or do you find yourself having to match how colorful he is out there on the practice field as far as language?
Well, I got sent a video of me mic'd up one day, and there was a lot of beeps, and so I wasn't too pleased of that, with that, and so I catch myself. I'm not proud of my colorful language, but I am competitive. I wasn't a very good football player, but I get out there, I get excited, and I wish I can be a little better about it, but it does naturally come out.
Keon is a prototypical X, obviously. You like your receivers to be versatile. Is it too much to ask? Do you envision him eventually, being able to be used in different spots like Gabe was on 10-10?
Yeah, we don't have positions. I think the way that we taught the offense, we just taught everything conceptually. These are three-man concepts. These are two-man concepts. These are full-field progressions. And so if I ask the guy, hey, what do you have on this play, they should be asking me, well, what's the formation? What position am I playing on that play? Not like, hey, I'm the X, so I have this. And so it really forces the guys to understand, like, hey, on any given moment, you can be on any of these spots, and you got to know it. And formationally, we can change it, move it around. So that was a big thing, a big point of emphasis. I don't want the guys memorizing a play and what they have, that specific route. They got to know it all. And so that's been a big point.
Joe, what do you need to see from Khalil Shakir from the early part of the training camp this season to kind of show he's taken that next step and evolving in this offense?
The last 10 games of the season, Khalil Shakir is, as consistent as they come. And, a big thing I told him is, like, I don't need him to feel like he needs to do anything more. He doesn't. Just continue being Khalil Shakir. His consistency as a wide receiver, he speaks so loudly to the quarterbacks, the way that he runs routes, and just continues to make plays. And Josh has the utmost confidence in him. So I don't need him to do anything else besides be Khalil Shakir and just continue to stack the days like he does on a consistent basis.
Behind James, you have quite a few guys battling for spots. What do you look for, to kind of separate at the end of the day? They're all going to do their job, but from pass protection to route concepts to be able to do versatility, short yardage, what do you look for when it comes to separating those guys?
You're saying for the running backs?
Yes, behind James.
The reality of it with a lot of this stuff is, right now we're still in just helmets. Football's played in pads. I can say the same thing with the wide receivers. Like, when the pads come on, I want to be able to see who plays with size and who plays with pads on. Same thing with the running backs, right? And you want to be able to have complete running backs that can be able to play, run out of the bat and run the football first and foremost, and then be able to make plays out of the backfield and protect where, hey, when certain guys aren't on the field, defenses know what's kind of happening. So that's a big point. Everyone's going to have to earn it, but to me, specifically with the running backs, I just want to be able to see how they play with the pads come on. And I know that's such a cop-out answer, but that's an important thing for me. And I know it's throughout everybody, I know the results I'm kind of talking about, but I'm a big proponent of just because we had success on a player, just because they did it right, if it's not the way that we're asking of it, we're not going to be like, hey, good job. And then when they do the exact same thing and it doesn't go wrong, we're correcting it. And so really just trying to harp on the how right now with the guys. And so it might be a one-on-one rep that a guy loses, and it was my favorite rep in practice because he tried working some of the technique that we're trying to preach that's going to allow him to ultimately have success in the long run. But he might have lost that rep, and it might look like, man, I lost the rep. Well, if you do the way that you might have won the rep, but the wrong technique, eventually it's not going to work. And so that's a big thing that we're kind of working on. And with the running back room, when the Pats can run a pass pro is, some of it you don't do in college for some of the young guys. Now, I know we drafted some that obviously had to do it, but that's always the thing when the pads come on is seeing how those guys kind of respond with it and to our technique and how we kind of do it. And as long as they're working that, that's what I'm more concerned with than the results of how it kind of works.
Two more.
Offense building trust with each other, feeling comfortable around each other, building chemistry, whether it's on the field, in the meeting room, or off the field, what do you want to see out of this group over the next 2 weeks?
We kind of started this back, the first meeting we talked about in the offseason training, I really believe when it's, when we're playing, with an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl and it's the last drive of the game, and Bill Walsh talked it, way back when of, when Josh gets in the huddle and he looks around and there's 10 other guys in there and they're all looking at each other, they're playing because they love one another and they're playing, you know, not just with each other, but playing for one another. And in order, that's going to have success. Well, you do that because you build it from the offseason to training camp, and those guys taking upon themselves to go to Nashville or do things together. That's what I think is so much. It's so much more than just what you guys see on the football field. And that's what we're trying to promote here, is that intentionality about not just being around the guys, but being about the guys, because we enjoy being around our guys and we love our guys, and then we're going to do whatever we can so that he has success. And I think that leads to success. And so that's a big thing that we're kind of preaching here, is making sure that you're with your guys, your boys, and doing everything you can together. And I think that that leads to success.
Joe, what's it been like getting to know a little bit more about Matt Collins? Interesting personality, no shoes, no utensils. What's it kind of been like getting to know
him? One of my favorite players. Honestly, probably one of my favorite people I've ever met. You know, like he's I'm becoming more grounded because of him. You know, started walking around barefoot yesterday. You know, and you look around, there's 10 other guys barefoot, right? And so, but that kind of speaks to who he is. Like, guys want to follow him. You know, he's the first one up here yesterday. You know, he was here before the strength coach. You know, he's out here working, you know, dripping in sweat. It's 5 a.m. After practice, you guys see, he just doesn't want to stop. He just goes. So much energy. I love his style of play, the way that he plays, but his personality, man, it's so fun. And we really embrace that here in Buffalo. Like, we want guys to be themselves. And I hope the city of Buffalo enjoys him walking out in the snow barefoot. I don't know if that's going to be a good idea. He hasn't really had to experience that yet, but just embrace, you know, the city of Buffalo does a great job in this organization, embraces, you know, the guys for who they are. And Matt Collins is going to be a stud for us, both on the field and off.
That was Buffalo Bills offense coordinator Joe Brady from earlier this morning. And I'm Matt Collins. He seems to be a fun character showing up to practice with a ripped t-shirt, note, and no shoes on. A lot of fun there. Let's go back, though, to St. John Fisher is on the Wester Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins us from practice. Sal, how's practice been looking so far today?
Pretty good. A couple notable items here for you. Dwayne Smoot has been getting some run with the ones today. Defensive end. Now, it could be because, you know, they're just managing Von Miller, but Von's out there right now. There's a rotation, as always. And, oh, Josh Allen. I don't know if he caught or not. What do you think? Matt Bovey, Stanamix. That completion, he just threw an absolute strike between defenders to Curtis Samuel. I have no idea how he fit this ball in this window. Oh, my goodness. Curtis Samuel caught it. The two defenders both kind of collided and went down in between as they were trying to tackle him, and Samuel got up. You know, Matt and I are standing here. Matt Bovey's with me. We're standing here. I just said to Matt, would it be fair to say that, to me, Matt Collins has been Josh's favorite target, quote-unquote? He said, no, he thinks it's Curtis Samuel, and he showed one right there. He had another one earlier where he kind of scrambled around, threw it back, a classic Josh Allen extend the play type deal, and then Samuel caught it. But Matt Collins is always seeming to be involved in the play some here, somehow, some way. I mean, Dalton Kincaid, obviously, as well. You hear the horn go. They're having the ones against the ones on one field, twos and threes against each other on another field. Now they're bringing them all together.
Sal, I will tell you, you scared my heart dropped when you went, oh, Josh. And I'm like, oh, no, what happened? Like, he just came on and something. I got so nervous there. I did see on Twitter, though, real quick, it sounded like Cam Lewis went down. What's that looking like?
He did. Cam Lewis went down briefly. I think it was a cramp. He's been out here again. He went to the sidelines. He used the massage gun. So I was going to tweet something out myself, but it felt like, you know, it was just a cramp. He was right back in there, so kind of didn't really matter at that point. I've been watching him here. He was just out there getting some reps with the ones, so it appears all is good on that front.
Cramps will always get you. So you brought up Matt Collins there, Curtis Samuel. How has Keon Coleman looked? There was a highlight yesterday. I know there was also a play where it was. Did he make the catch? Did he not? I saw there was some fun play back and forth there. But how's he looked through 2 days?
Well, there's another one of those today, but not on the positive end for him. He actually caught a ball, tried to turn up field, and fumbled. And Matt next to me said he thought it was incomplete. I thought he caught it and turned up field. Either way, it's a ball you can't put on the ground. It was in his hands, and you either catch it and turn up field, or, you know, even if you catch it, and at least don't fumble. And that happened. Now, otherwise, you know, he seems to be out here fitting in. Those kinds of things happen. You never want to see it, especially from a rookie. We know the Bills have to trust you to put you on the field to hold on to the ball. But that happened earlier today. He caught a bit of a slant pattern, turned up field, and the ball hit the ground. And that's not something you want to have.
What about Khalil Shakir? I have not heard too much from him. I do get, with the sort of wide receiver position he plays more in the slot, I get he's not going to necessarily make big plays. But hearing Samuel making a number of impressive plays today, Kincaid, of course, getting work, I haven't really heard too much from Shakir.
Shakir's just steady as you go. You know, I think that, let's remember, Khalil Shakir is the only wide receiver on this roster that has caught a pass from Josh Allen in a regular season game. So not saying that they're going to necessarily back off him and use other guys, but they have to see other people play with Josh Allen and how that looks and the chemistry. And Shakir, when the ball's thrown his way, he catches it. Remember last year, he struggled. He had a tough training camp last year. Not the case this year. It seems like everything thrown his way, the guy just has glue for his hands and he catches it.
And that's really why I want to know, is because last year, I mean, that's sort of what made way for a lot of the Andy Isabella talk, is that Shakir was not having a good camp. He was not taking you know, the nice end to his rookie year, where, you know, last year we saw a really, really nice end to his second year. There was sort of this feeling, and not a huge one, because I do really believe in him. I have since they drafted him out of Boise State. But I was a little nervous, and I'm like, oh, man, he's going to have another bad camp, or something's going to go wrong. And I'm like, oh. So it's good to hear that he's steady as he goes. Would you say it's been, though, a very good day for the offense or defense? Not necessarily saying anyone's winning. They're not even in pads yet. But
Yeah, not necessarily. Maybe both winning. I would tell you Ed Oliver's been very good today on the defensive end. Early on, I think the very first play of 11-on-11, he batted the ball down. For a deflected pass, incomplete. And then later, he kind of seemed like he got into Deion Dawkins a little bit, got him a little bit off balance. So I couldn't tell. I think that was him. But, yeah, he's had a nice day. He's had his presence felt out here. You know, it's always tough. They can't hit each other, right? So when the ball's thrown downfield, there's a lot of times there's a completion where you say, well, you know what, if the DB could be a little more physical, maybe that's a breakup, right? So you can't really tell. But we'll get, when the pads come on, you can see that a little bit more. They are running a lot more run stuff today. It's a mix of run and pass. Feels like it's a kind of a first, second down type day. Like, they'll work just first and second down, not as much third down today. So they're doing a lot of different things. And, you know, one thing you see is every running back kind of getting involved. Ray Davis has been involved in the passing game. He's taken, you know, balls to the house, so has James Cook. But again, they're not tackling them. As soon as they get out of the first wave, they take off. And one was kind of a funny one. James Cook ran like an 80-yard touchdown, let's say, because he got free and he's running. And Josh Allen, it was his last rep of that series, so Josh Allen ran with him all the way down the field as well.
There's just not a chance if I was out there, because we just talked about cramps with Cam Lewis. There's not a chance after like 20 yards I'm finishing the run. There's not. We're going right back to the huddle, boys. We got
you better.
Plays.
Your coach will get on you.
I cannot do it. We're better.
Now, maybe not Josh Allen, but they are taught. That's right. Your coach, they are taught. Once you break through, you run it to the end zone, and that's what they did there. Earlier, same thing happened. Dawson Knox caught about a maybe 15-yard out pattern. Matt Milano was on the coverage, but he caught it. And, you know, he probably would have been tackled, but then he just kind of turned upfield and went the rest of the way, about like 50 yards or so.
That's awesome. All right, Sal, well, let's get back to watching practice. Real quick, though, do we know kind of the plan for tomorrow morning? We know Joe Brady obviously talked today. Are we expecting maybe Bobby Babich tomorrow morning?
Yep.
All right, awesome.
Exactly what you're expecting tomorrow morning. Bobby Babich will be speaking to the media at 9:15, and then at 9:45, they'll be back on the field.
Beautiful. All right, Sal, we'll let you get going. Enjoy the rest of practice.
Okay. You got it.
All right, that was our own Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline line from St. John Fisher, as the Bills are somewhat getting ready to wrap up day two of minicamp again over at St. John Fisher. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Pete Guelli, the Bills and Sabres COO, spoke with Jeremy and Joe this morning. We'll listen back to hopefully all of that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show right here on WGR.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We go back to earlier this morning as Jeremy and Joe, live from Bills training camp, had Bills and Sabres COO Pete Quelle on earlier today.
Good morning from St. John Fisher, and sitting with us now, Pete Quelle, COO of the Buffalo Bills. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks for sitting down with us. Thanks for taking a few minutes. We talked business stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to talk football, we could do that too. Like, did you have a highlight yesterday you liked a little more than the rest?
Since I saw about 3 seconds of practice yesterday, I'm probably not the right guy to ask.
How'd those three seconds go, though?
Great. You know, the fan response and the fan interaction and the fan experience was fantastic yesterday. Yeah. So that's what I was paying attention to.
It's been a long time here at St. John Fisher. It's funny, like, I was joking with Joe. I'm the old guy on the show now. Howard was here forever. No, I'm the old guy. And I can think back to being on this field 20 years ago. Yeah. I've covered about 20 training camps. So you coming back to St. John Fisher, we talked yesterday. You were part of the original team that kind of envisioned this. Yeah. Did you envision all of what the NFL training camp experience has become? Because it's come a long way in, you know, 10, 20, 30 years.
No, only because when we rolled in here, it was a couple of flat practice fields, and that was the extent of it. You know, we were lucky. Fisher was going under this whole capital improvement plan. Mm-hmm. And said, if you bring camp here, you can participate in that. And we got our football ops people involved, and they are the ones that really kind of envisioned this, and you can see what it is today. What I'm most proud of is just how it stood the test of time. You know, we built this great camp, had a great response to it, and then you come back. I've been gone for 15 years. You come back, and you see not only is it as good, it's better than it was before, and it's still, from a fan experience standpoint, from a football ops standpoint, it still works.
Yeah.
And I was with Coach McDermott yesterday for breakfast, and he loves it. Loves coming here. He thinks it's great for the team, great for him to get away. So proud to look back and think about, hey, this is still working today.
Yeah. I mean, coaches, players, I feel like there are a lot of little starts to football season, OTAs, mini camps, but this is where when the team gets together for the first time like this for 24 hours a day, basically, and then there's no break. Like, the season has begun. You know, there's the league year, but this is really the start of the year.
Yeah, I love it for football and for the fans. On the football side, it's great. Anytime you have new faces and you're trying to integrate them into a team and do the bonding, the things that get your season off to a great start. But in Rochester, to have the fans have the first look at how your team is coming together and then roll into the season, that's a special opportunity to just participate in something like that. And you can just tell by the turnout. You know, the tickets are gone the minute that they're made available. And, you know, we've even opened up things, up in Buffalo. We've got the blue and red coming up.
Yeah.
And we opened up the upper deck this year because there's been such a great response at camp. We wanted to make sure anybody who couldn't get here at least has the chance to go there.
Yeah. I'll be at that. My family's going. We're excited.
Good.
Chief Operating Officer Pete Quelle of the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres sitting with us. All right, let's get to some stadium stuff. Let's go there first.
Just before that, I got one thing.
Oh.
You mentioned that you were gone for 15 years. I just want to know what it's like to know Michael Jordan. Because you, of course, worked with him closely.
All right, yeah.
It's as cool as you think it would be.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the first time you walk in and meet him, obviously it's a little bit intimidating. But once you get to know him, wonderful guy, great leader.
Yeah.
Obviously, from a business perspective, understands brand as well as any athlete in the history of sports. So working with him was really enlightening.
Yeah.
Growth process, and I've taken everything I've learned from there. I spent 10 years there, and then I went to the Giants for 5, and I'm looking to bring all that experience back here. But yeah, he's as amazing as you would think.
Yeah. You'll have, any time the question comes up, who's the most famous person in your phone?
Michael Jordan.
That's an easy one.
He's going to win that competition.
Who's in second place?
Right now, based on how his kind of he's ascended post-career, is probably Eli.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Yeah.
Work really closely with Eli in New York, and he's everywhere.
He's having a, like, the post career Eli.
He's having a glow up.
A glow up.
The Manning cast. I mean, I find the Manning cast to be tremendous.
I agree. You know, when you have an asset like that, I hate to use that word because it sounds, you know, kind of insensitive, but he's such a resource. You know, winning 2 Super Bowls there and doing it in New York and bringing him back to be part of the organization, you could create all these unique platforms. So.
Yeah.
Again, like, you know, what's our opportunity to do those kind of things here? That's what I've been looking at.
Yeah. Pete Quelle. Okay, so the stadium. We had a chance to tour it, walk around. It's progress every day. I find the timelines to be a lot of fun. Like, here we are at training camp. By the time Bills fans get to the home opener, you know, if you're listening from far and wide, wherever you may be, maybe you're not driving by the stadium and seeing the construction on a daily basis, where are things right now, and what's the timeline as the season coincides with the building of the stadium?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because there's only one timeline I'm concerned with is be ready for opening day in 2026. But it's even since you guys were there, how much has gone up, how much more steel, the precast is in now. We got to get you back because when you walk in there, it absolutely feels like a stadium. You can start to get the sense of what it was going to be like in this whole, you know, built for Buffalo mentality that you don't want to lose that home field advantage and you want to make it even better if you possibly can. I think when you come in and you see how close everything is to the bowl and to the field, you'll start to get that sense. Our construction guys, you know, they're conservative, but the phrase they use is comfortably on schedule. They feel good about where we are. Every day you can see things kind of going up. We had a tour there last week, and it's moving so quickly. I think when fans come to the stadium this year, they're going to be very surprised. They're going to obviously have a great view of what's going on, but they're going to be surprised where we're at. So I would never say ahead of schedule, but feel really good.
And you posted a picture yesterday of the Buffalo skyline from the stadium. I know there are spots in the stadium you'll be able – it's high enough up because it's got much more of a profile than the current stadium, which is further into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that stadium is as high as the top of the lights in the current stadium, which it's kind of hard to even wrap your head around that. Yeah. So different height, different pitch, great views from everywhere. And I think people – having a state-of-the-art facility like that in Buffalo, I think people are going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating just like to think about the different experiences. And people ask me on the tour, like what we saw. I just think – so many Bills fans that go to the current stadium are going to be blown away. They've seen this in other places that, you know, the 360-degree walk around, see the game from the concourse. Like, that's just – these are 50 years' worth of advancements going into a new stadium from the old one.
Yeah, and all the different entry points now, so hopefully it's a little bit easier, the access to the upper level, all those different touches that make you feel, hey, this is a Buffalo-specific facility. I think people are really going to enjoy that aspect of it. And, again, you know, I don't think – when I left here, the conversation was about whether the Bills were going to be in Buffalo. I think we're all pretty confident. We've answered that question now. So not only are we going to be here, we're going to have the state-of-the-art facility that I don't think most people could have predicted would be there.
Filling that stadium, price points, PSLs, you know, the process as it goes along, it's clearly a lengthy process. And I feel like Bills fans are finding that out as well because maybe you are still waiting for your stadium experience tour to find out. How is that going? What's the state? Is a percentage of season ticket holders you guys have been through? Does everybody know their timeline at this point, or should they know?
I don't think everybody knows it yet, and I think, you know, it's hard. Right? It's easy for me to say be patient, but I had to come in from the outside looking in. I didn't really set this up, so I'm going to come in and evaluate how things are going. And now that I've dug in, I understand the process. You really, it's a little bit of a top-down strategy. There's some clubs that you need to look at first to see what the audience might be for those. I can tell you that all the club levels that we've gone on sale with have performed very well. The Founders Club, so ostensibly sold out. We've held back some seats for some need that we know we're going to have. The East Club, very, very close. And we just went on sale with the Field Club, which is that really unique experience right by the field where the players come out. Never been done before here. That's moving briskly, too. So then we'll start moving to the bowl from there, and that's when people will start hearing from us. You know, after going through it, the one thing I do feel confident is there is going to be a price point for everybody that's been there. So everyone will get an opportunity to participate.
You know, going through something like this where you're trying to fill a stadium and also kind of reseat people, because I understand one of the reasons you have to do it this way is because the experiences are so different. The seats are so different. Everywhere you can't just say, I'll take the seat in the current stadium and put it over here. There might, however, be a line to walk there because, I don't know, are you hearing from any fans that are not feeling left out but frustrated or feeling they want more information? And at the same time, you're trying to make that experience personal to every single season ticket holder.
Yeah, and the building's got to be full, right? So there's a cadence that you need to go through to make sure you're in the best position to sell that building out, because that's going to create the environment and the experience that we want. So, yeah, we're sensitive to that. I'm making sure that we're having conversations every week, that we're getting to people, that we're communicating at a high level, and we're going to give them the opportunity to be part of this thing. I don't think there's a perfect answer. Anytime you open up a new stadium, these kind of dynamics exist. So how do you move through them as transparently as you can and put people in the best position to feel like they got the great opportunity to be part of this? We're trying to do that. I can't say it's perfect. It's never going to be perfect, but that's something we're focusing on.
It's a massive undertaking.
It's big, yeah. It's obviously we've got legends in there. It's too big for any one person. I went over there to talk to the Legends crew. I go over there every couple of weeks just to, you know, let them know what's going on from a team perspective, make sure we're aligned on everything. and people just kept coming out of offices. Like, this is a pretty big group we have over here, so I don't know that we would have had the bandwidth to do it that way, and so you need someone to help you with it, and we're just trying to make sure whatever they're doing is in lockstep with what we want for our fans.
That was one thing that jumped out when we took the stadium experience tour, was the peek behind the curtain, and a door opened, and there's hundreds of people that are just working. Oh, this is, you know, around-the-clock kind of operation, and it's the three-year runway, and, you know, you're, of course, thinking about opening day.
Yeah. It's a massive project, and obviously the ticket aspect of just one piece of it. You talked about stadium development and everything else that's going on around there. And then what's the long-term vision for that campus? You know, I think ultimately we want that to be a destination, so we're still in the beginning phases of that as well.
What's the status of the giant buffalo? I got to ask that. People get mad at me if I don't ask.
Yeah, I don't have an update on the giant buffalo.
All right, fair.
But, you know, we know, again, that's the kind of thing you need to have some kind of character built into this, so it makes sense.
Is there a timeline you guys want all the ticket PSLs and, well, beyond that, I mean, just, you know, having everybody through before the stadium opens?
I think we're trying to give everybody a solid 18 months to make a decision on what they want to do. I feel like that's a reasonable time frame. It's hard when you're going through that much capacity and trying to roll it out to everybody, but I think it's important to give everybody a window. They're gonna get it.
And what about the current stadium? Because next year will be, you know, if everything stays on plan, like you said, that it'll be the final season at a stadium that's been this team's stadium for 50 years. Is there anything, you know, special planned or that might be in conversation about next season?
Yeah, I mean, nothing that I can disclose at the moment, but we have a whole group of people in the building right now focused on that aspect of it, because I agree 100%. A lot of great memories in that building. They need to be celebrated. You need to close it out the right way. You need to transition into the building the right way. So we are looking at that, and, you know, I was here for a number of those years and know all the great things that have happened here historically. So we want to make sure that we're not losing that in the process.
Pete Quilly, Chief Operating Officer of the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres. Okay, on to other things fans want to know about. When we said we'd have you on, helmets. People want to talk about red helmets and uniform stuff. And it's also timely today because the Jaguars just announced a new helmet. They're going to go with a white helmet with their current logo. So uniform stuff. Yeah. I mean, where are the Buffalo Bills when it comes to deciding they want to dip into some more, I don't necessarily say exotic, but third jerseys, alternate jerseys, different throwbacks, different arrangements. How are things in that department?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, I can only say this for probably not much longer, but I haven't been here that long yet. That's definitely on the list, something that we're talking about. I'm a uniform guy, probably not unlike most of the fans. I've been through this process. I just finished up a five-year uniform plan for the Giants that culminated this year with the 100th season. Yeah, obviously, it was in the NBA where, you know, uniforms are a big part of the strategy there. So those are things we're absolutely going to talk about. I don't have any great updates for you, but, you know, based on my background, I think it's easy for people to assume that we'll take a hard look at that. And one thing I do know, it's got to be a fan-centric approach. Like, if you're not authentic and it's not organic, it doesn't work. So how do you get feedback and kind of understand what fans are interested in? So anything that you do, it fits what they think is right for their team.
Having been in the NBA and the NFL Worlds here, do you, just as an opinion, feel like the NBA is at the cutting edge here? Because the NBA is loose with this stuff. The NBA is way outside the box. We've seen baseball go there, too, with the City Connect jerseys. In the NFL, it seems like they're just starting to kind of, you know, loosen up a little bit in this department.
Yeah, I mean, I love the NBA approach. It just gave us, it was so much more fluid. You know, if you could dream it up, you probably could execute it. And it just gave us things every year that were interesting to our fans. I think, you know, you can go too far as well, where it just kind of burns out and then maybe nobody's even interested anymore. But, you know, we went through that transition from the Bobcats to the Hornets, and it was amazing bringing that brand back. But we had to evolve the brand, and then we started looking at how do we find other opportunities. A lot of those changes came through uniforms and different brands that we rolled out, and they were incredibly popular with the fans. So I like the way the NBA does it. You know, some of it's kind of the scale of the NFL is so massive, the partnerships are so big, the business is so big. You just have to be a little bit more thoughtful when you do it.
There's also,
we got to jump in there real quick. That was Bills and Sabres COO Pete Quilly earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. There's a little bit more left to that. If you want to listen to that, it's going to be on the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com. But we do have to take a quick timeout. It's coming up at 12 o'clock. Sabres Live returns after having the day off with day number one of Bills training camp. But that's coming up at the top of the hour. We'll be right back after a quick timeout. This is WGR. Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We're starting to hear some players speaking with the media following practice today. I think Khalil Shakir speaking now. Von Miller, though, did just wrap up speaking, and he's very candid from everything I'm seeing on Twitter about what he should and shouldn't have done last year. I think he outright even said he shouldn't have played last year, which, you know, looking at how the recovery goes for a torn ACL, you know, you're able to play that first year back, but for every Adrian Peterson where they just, boom, they're there and they're amazing, there is guys like Von Miller who just, it takes that extra year to kind of get right. I even remember Tom Brady, after he had his leg injury, missed an entire season, and even the next year back, he was solid, he was okay, not great. It was the year after that he really returned to dominance. But a reminder that coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it, and in part brought to you by Fever Car and Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Coming up next, Sabres Live after having yesterday off, and a big day for the Sabres as they get goaltender Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen signed to a long-term deal. That's coming up next right here on WGR.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.